Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Civil Asset Forfeiture and the Right to Assistance of Counsel Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On March 30th, 2016, the Supreme Court decided Lewis v. U.S. In 2012, a grand jury indicted Lewis for a variety of crimes relating to healthcare fraud. The government contended that she had fraudulently obtained some $45 million and had spent all except $2 million of it. The government then initiated a civil proceeding to freeze Lewis's remaining assets, including those not traceable to the alleged fraud, to preserve them for payment of restitution and criminal penalties if she was convicted. Lewis objected that the freeze violated her Sixth Amendment right to counsel by precluding her from using her own untainted funds, those not connected with the alleged crime, to hire counsel to defend her in her criminal case. The district court acknowledged that Lewis might be unable to hire counsel of her choice, but rejected her Sixth Amendment claim, and the 11th Circuit affirmed that judgment on appeal. By a vote of 5-3, the Supreme Court vacated the judgment of the 11th Circuit and remanded the case. No single rationale, however, attracted the votes of five justices. Writing for a plurality, Justice Breyer delivered an opinion arguing, based on the nature of competing considerations, relevant legal tradition, and practical concerns, that Lewis had a Sixth Amendment right to use her own innocent property to pay a reasonable fee for the assistance of counsel. The opinion was joined by the Chief Justice and Justices Ginsburg and Sotomayor. Justice Thomas concurred in the judgment of the court, thereby providing a fifth vote to vacate and remand, but he did not agree with the plurality's balancing approach, and instead rested strictly on the Sixth Amendment's text and common law backdrop. Justice Kennedy filed a dissenting opinion in which Justice Alito joined. Justice Kagan also filed a dissenting opinion. To discuss the case, we have John Malcolm, who is director of the Edwin Meese III Center for Legal and Judicial Studies, and the Ed Gilbertson and Sherry Lindberg Gilbertson Senior Legal Fellow at the Heritage Foundation. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Malcolm.
Last Wednesday, the Supreme Court issued its decision in Lewis v. United States, a case involving the pretrial seizure of a defendant's untainted assets, and whether a defendant is entitled under the Sixth Amendment to an order releasing those funds so that she can obtain the counsel of her choice to defend her against the pending charges. Sila Lewis ran two highly successful companies in Florida that provided home health care and physical therapy to Medicare patients. She took dozens of trips overseas, mostly to Mexico, bought luxury cars, and gave millions of dollars to her husband, children, and other family members. In 2012, Lewis was charged with conspiracy to commit Medicare fraud by paying kickbacks for patient referrals and by billing for services that were either not necessary or not actually performed. As part of this alleged scheme, the government alleged that Lewis received $45 million in fraudulent reimbursements over a six-year period. By the time Lewis was charged, she had already spent or otherwise dissipated most of the money, so prosecutors sought to freeze all of her assets up to $45 million. The government asked the trial court to freeze all of Lewis's assets, including untainted assets that were legitimately earned or otherwise lawfully obtained. The government relied on a federal law that authorizes a court to freeze assets, whether tainted or untainted, up to the value of the assets allegedly obtained by violating federal health care laws, when the government can show that the defendant has dissipated most of the proceeds of the alleged crime. The goal of the statute permitting pretrial seizure of funds is to ensure that, should the defendant be convicted, funds are available for forfeiture in order to pay restitution to victims, in this case the U.S. Treasury, and other statutory penalties. After all, money is fungible. Lewis conceded that the Supreme Court had previously held in a 1989 case, United States v. Monsanto, that the government could seize and freeze tainted assets prior to trial, even if it deprived a defendant of his right to hire counsel of choice. But she argued that the same rule should not apply to untainted assets. The Supreme Court agreed. Five justices, Justice Stephen Breyer, who wrote a plurality opinion, which was joined by Chief Justice John Roberts and Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor, and Justice Clarence Thomas, who wrote a separate concurring opinion, sided with Lewis. As a matter of property law, With respect to tainted funds, Breyer characterized a defendant's ownership interest as imperfect, stating that when a robber steals money from a victim, the money still belongs to the victim, not the robber. The same is not true, he said, however, with respect to untainted funds, which belong to the defendant. While the plurality recognized the legitimacy of the government's interests, Breyer concluded that, quote, compared to the right to counsel of choice, these interests would seem to lie somewhat further from the heart of a fair, effective criminal justice system. And, Breyer noted, the law has tracing rules that permit prosecutors to freeze so-called substitute assets when they can establish that tainted funds have been used to purchase other goods. The plurality was clearly concerned that if Congress were permitted to freeze untainted assets for this crime, in this case healthcare fraud, there would be nothing to prevent Congress from doing the same for other crimes. To quote Breyer, there would be no obvious stopping place. Breyer posed the question, how are defendants whose innocent assets are frozen in cases like these supposed to pay for a lawyer, particularly if they lack tainted assets because they are innocent, a class of defendants whom the right to counsel certainly seeks to protect? If this were to happen, then, quote, defendants rendered indigent would fall back upon publicly paid counsel, including overworked and underpaid public servants. Justice Thomas reached the same conclusion, but not for the same reasons, and wrote a separate opinion concurring in the judgment only. As Thomas noted, quote, constitutional rights necessarily protect the prerequisites of their exercise. In his view, the Sixth Amendment right to have the assistance of counsel necessarily implies the right to use lawfully owned property to pay for an attorney. Otherwise, the right to counsel, originally understood to protect only the right to hire counsel of choice, would be meaningless. He added, quote, the modern judicially created right to government-appointed counsel does not obviate these concerns. As understood in 1791, the Sixth Amendment protected a defendant's right to retain an attorney he could afford. It is thus no answer, as the principal dissent replies, that defendants rendered indigent by a pretrial asset freeze can resort to public defenders. The dissent's approach nullifies the original understanding of the right to counsel. Because he believes that pretrial freezing of untainted assets infringes on a defendant's Sixth Amendment right to retain counsel of choice, Justice Thomas thought that was the end of the matter. To quote Thomas, quote, this conclusion leaves no room for balancing. Moreover, I have no idea whether, compared to the right to counsel of choice, the government's interest in securing forfeiture and restitution lie further from the heart of a fair, effective criminal justice system. Judges are not well suited to strike the right balance between these incommensurable interests, nor do I think it is our role to do so. The people, through ratification, have already weighed the policy trade-offs that constitutional rights entail. Those trade-offs are thus not for us to reevaluate. Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote a dissenting opinion, joined by Justice Samuel Alito, in which he stated that the pluralities and Justice Thomas's holding, quote, rewards criminals who hurry to spend, conceal, or launder stolen property by assuring them that they may use their own funds to pay for an attorney after they have dissipated the proceeds of their crime. He offered the following illustration, quote, assume a thief steals $1 million and then wins another $1 million in a lottery. After putting the sums in separate accounts, he or she spends $1 million. If the thief spends his or her lottery winnings, the government can restrain the stolen funds in their entirety. The thief has no right to use those funds to pay for an attorney. Yet, if the thief heeds today's decision, he or she will spend the stolen money first, for if the thief is apprehended, the $1 million won in the lottery can be used for an attorney. This result is not required by the Constitution. In Kennedy's view, this case was covered by the court's holding in U.S. v. Monsanto, again the case in which the court held that it was permissible to freeze tainted funds prior to trial, even if it deprived a defendant of the right to retain counsel of choice. and also in a companion case, Kaplan and Drysdale versus United States. Justice Kennedy believes that those cases stand for the proposition that a defendant does not have a Sixth Amendment right to spend forfeitable funds or assets that will be forfeitable upon conviction on an attorney, and that all the Sixth Amendment guarantees a defendant in a criminal case is the right to adequate representation, which could be provided by a public defender or an attorney willing to take on the case in the hope of being paid by the client in the event of an acquittal or being paid by someone else. The dissenters added that they thought it odd that the Constitution would allow the government to restrain a defendant pending trial on a finding of probable cause that the defendant committed the alleged offense, but that the same Constitution would not allow the government to restrain the defendant's property pending trial based on a finding of probable cause that the defendant committed the crime and that his assets are forfeitable. The dissenters added that they thought the plurality's ownership analysis was wrong. Whether the assets are tainted or untainted, the government has a contingency interest in those assets and will only obtain ownership after the defendant is convicted or it obtains a judgment of forfeiture. Kennedy added, quote, "The true winners today are sophisticated criminals who know how to make criminal proceeds look untainted. They do so every day." Justice Elena Kagan wrote a separate and somewhat unusual dissent in which she said that she finds United States versus Monsanto to be a troubling decision. However, because Sila Luis did not ask the court to overrule or even modify Monsanto, Kagan stated that she believes, like Kennedy and Alito, that Monsanto applies just as much to tainted assets as it does to untainted assets, even though, she added, she sympathized with the plurality's effort to cabin Monsanto.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.